Well, good morning. My name's Dave, and it's an absolute pleasure to be sharing God's word with you this morning. This series that we're going to start, I think that video was a great launching point into it. Beg says, I want to pray bigger and better, and I want you to enjoy that too. What a great way to be thinking as we're going to be challenged and encouraged as we think about our prayer life. Now, thinking from the kids' talk about things that are big, things that are maybe even immeasurable, what is something in your life at the moment that you feel is immeasurable, maybe even impossible, just a pipe dream? Maybe you think maybe a coronavirus vaccine, that's just huge. Or the end of racism or poverty. Maybe 20,000 new Christians in Kingborough next year. How about even just one Christian? That person who sits next to you at work and seems really aggressive against any kind of religion. This stuff feels far from achievable, doesn't it? And what about personally? Do you have a sin that has its claws in you, that you feel you could never kick it? Or a relationship that keeps hitting the same roadblocks? And you're not making any progress. I wonder, are these things so big that you don't pray about them because you want to be realistic? Do you ask God to do amazing things in this world and in your own life? And if you don't, is it because you think God doesn't care? Or are you not convinced that He could answer those prayers? Or maybe you're scared to ask for personal transformation because you know the cost that's going to be associated with that. I want you to think about your last prayer. Was it this morning before church? Maybe last night? Or perhaps you haven't prayed in the last few days or even weeks. Our prayers can reveal our priorities and our preoccupations for better or for worse. So what did you pray for? What are you caught up in at the moment? I'll give you a minute to think about it. Do you have the confidence to ask God for big things and believe that He can answer them? Or do you sometimes find yourself coming to God with a short-term shopping list? What is missing from your prayers? We see in today's passage the Apostle Paul praying for the Ephesian church. He boldly asked God to do amazing, large-scale things in their lives. We're going to break our passage down into three parts this morning. First, we're going to see who it is that Paul prays to. And our second and third points are going to show his huge prayer requests. Now, all the time as we go through these three sections, we're going to be holding up a magnifying glass to our own Christian lives as we relate to God in prayer. It's going to be a chance to reset and examine our prayer lives. We're going to be encouraged to change and to upscale our prayer points to match God's power. So let's get into it. First point, let's read verses 14 to 15 together as we get into it. Verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may... dot, dot, dot. It goes on. What drives Paul to pray? I think essentially he's praying because of what he said before. He's praying to the God of Ephesians chapter 1 to 3. And if you aren't familiar with these chapters, after this, I'd recommend you read them. There's some of the biggest chapters in the Bible in terms of scale, in terms of showing us how big and amazing God is. They present us with God's wonderful eternal plan. He predestined us for adoption before the creation of the world, giving us blessings in Christ. We see God's amazing work of reconciliation in chapter 2, to unite people to Himself, and to unite people to each other. Altogether, these chapters stretch our view of God. They remind us who he is and what he's done. Paul prays to the Father here in verse 14, doesn't he? This isn't just a title for God, but a description of his character. And for Paul is another motivator to pray. The gospel, in a sense, can be summed up with God as Father, because God adopts us as children, dealing with our sin so that he can do that. And in doing so, he reconciles us to those around us and makes us brothers and sisters with all kinds of people. This Father that Paul prays to is the same Father Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 7, when he says to those people listening, "If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask?" This Father gives good gifts, and he gives them out of boundless riches. God is both a rich and loving Father, giving good gifts to those who ask. And as Father of all in heaven and on earth, he has the authority to give as well. When Paul prays to God, he knows who it is that he's asking. He's praying to the great God of Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, the God over all history with boundless riches. Paul is right-sizing God in his own eyes. He's trying to remember the scale of who God is. He's trying to take off the constraints that he can so easily place on God in his mind. Who is it that you pray to? I think we can easily forget the scale of God's power and his plan and blurt out prayers without even remembering who we're talking to. I think doing this, right-sizing God, will help us to put prayers in perspective and will embolden you to ask in faith. Now, as you read prayers in the Bible, you'll notice that almost none of them start without some kind of adoration for who God is and what he's already done. I think this is an essential starting point as we come to God to pray. So, after beginning with right-sizing his huge God, what does Paul ask for in the lives of the Ephesians? Read verses 16 to 17 with me as we see Paul's first supersized prayer request. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The first thing that Paul prays for here is Christ dwelling in the hearts of the Ephesians. He asks that Christ would make himself at home in them. Now, this means for Jesus to be at the center of their thoughts, their attitudes, and their behaviors. He prays that they would welcome Christ in as a resident in their hearts. Now, this might not seem like a huge request to have Jesus dwell in us. And if you're like me, at this point you're asking, why does Paul pray for that? Jesus is already in their hearts because as Christians they have the Holy Spirit, right? But Paul has something much deeper in mind. This is a continued renovation of their hearts to have Christ made at home in them. And for us, he's praying this prayer for us too. He prays that we would experience Christ more and more as we continue to grow. The word dwell here means to be at home in. Christ dwelling in comfort. Now, this is a deep change in our hearts. You see, when we're saved by God, his Spirit moves in. And he has big plans. He won't just be staying temporarily, but moving in for good. Jesus, the light of the world, has moved into our hearts. And as he dwells in us, he will light the darkest corners that no one, not even those closest to us, have ever seen. He'll cut out the rotten beams and replace them with beautiful new timber. He cuts out the lino that's all cracked and mouldy and replaces it with white shining tiles. We're all fixer-uppers, aren't we? We're in need of renovation. So Christ is in us, but we're a work in progress. And as the Spirit strengthens us, he's more and more at home. He begins to dwell in us rather than just set up camp or put his suitcase on the bed. This is going to look like total transformation in us. The kind of renovation where you don't recognize before and after. Now, I think we're starting to see the scale of Paul's prayer here. It's ambitious, and it will be a huge outcome if it comes to fruition. So how at home is Jesus in your heart? Is he still living out of a suitcase? Now, the prayer here is that Jesus would totally transform you. Every nook and cranny of your heart would be comfortable for him. Now imagine that for a second. Every aspect of your thoughts and actions lit up by Jesus. Imagine Jesus could walk through every room of your heart and you wouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed. Imagine every room was familiar to him, like home. He remembers what it was, but he rejoices in what it is now. What would that be like? When I really think about that, I crave it. I think the word wholesome is massively overused today, but I think to have Christ dwelling at home in my heart, well, that would truly be wholesome. As the Christian continues to trust in Jesus in faith, so Jesus continues to make himself at home through the work of the Spirit. So, are you ready? Jesus will get to work on you. He's got big plans. The Spirit will strengthen you to welcome Christ into every aspect of your life. Are you willing? Or would you prefer just to contain Jesus to the guest room? Not really ever dwelling, just staying with you. Well, the Spirit can give you power to welcome Christ as a permanent resident. Now, that's a big prayer, isn't it? And if Paul's first prayer point isn't big enough, he's got another one, another ambitious request for God. Check out verses 17 to 19. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." This is Paul's second prayer request, and it's just as big as the first. He asked for power, that the Ephesians might grasp God's love. And once again, this doesn't seem like a huge request to me. But as we dig into it, we're going to understand the depth of it. As Jesus continues to dwell in us, he will grow and change us to be rooted and established in love. Now, this is God's love we're talking about. The scale of it is this. God has to work on you to specially strengthen your heart so that you can even begin to understand it. Rather than knowing God's love, the norm is that all of us will underestimate it. Do you think you know God's love? Well, there's always more to know. That's what Paul's saying here. And this sets up a trajectory for us to always be growing and learning in this love. I think King David puts it quite well in Psalm 103. In verses 11 and 12, he says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God's love is big. According to Paul, in his words, it's wide. No one is outside the reach of God's love. Aside from the many blessings that God gives everyone on earth, he will accept anyone who comes to him. God's love is long. It's enduring. He will never leave us or forsake us. His love is steadfast. He will be faithful and continue to love us no matter what. God's love is high. God lifts us up from death to life in Ephesians 2. He exalts Christ to the highest place, and we know that we are raised with Christ. God's love is deep. It runs so deep that he sent his Son to die for us to be adopted as his children. Now, Paul asks that we would all know and experience that love together with all of the Lord's people. God's community shows the love of Christ, and I think that's part of why we've missed meeting together so much. To know God's love is to be filled to the measure with God himself. You see that in verse 19 of chapter 4 as well. Sorry, verse 19 of chapter 3. And later on in chapter 4, Paul says the goal of gospel teaching is that we all may reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus, becoming mature. Attaining to the whole measure of Christ, how does this happen? Well, it happens by knowing God's love, by understanding that and letting that wash over every aspect of our lives to live for him. I think we're beginning to see that this also is a lofty request from Paul. So as we're rooted and established in love, he prays that God would give us power to understand his love and filling us with it. This will bring maturity and unity in Christ. When we dwell on that, that's huge. Are you seeking to know more of God's love? Because there's always more to know. Pray for maturity and continued growth. It seems impossible to be fully mature in every aspect of your life, in your faith. But God can do it. So Paul prays for two massive things in the Ephesians and in our hearts as well. He asks that Christ would not just be present, but really dwell. And he asks that they would not just know of God's love, but really know it and really grow in it. And that through these they would be transformed and filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Now, there is no greater prayer than this. We're talking about a full-scale remodeling. Understanding truths that will change the foundations of our life. This is praying big. Asking God to dwell in your heart and asking to know his love. Now, I wonder if this all seems impossible to you. The kind of thing that from a distance, or maybe as you listen to this sermon, you think, oh, that would be wonderful. It's a wonderful goal, but as you zoom in and as you see your day-to-day life, you don't see how this could possibly happen. This heart of yours is too far gone for Jesus to make his home. The sin runs too deep. You don't see your life turning around, 100% lit up by God's love. Now, here's where our first point comes back into it this morning. Remember who it is that you're asking. I encourage you to do that. Right-size God in your mind as you pray to him. These verses, verses 20 to 21, do that so beautifully. Let's read them now. Verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now that we've finally started to get our head around the size of Paul's two requests, he blows them out of the water. God can do heaps more than that. Think about your last prayer again. What was it that you prayed for? And is your last prayer a good indication of your prayer diet, of what you're always praying for? Do you ask this God of the Bible who has immeasurable power? Do you ask him for big things? Do you pray for triumph over sin that you just can't seem to kick? Do you pray for growth in your character? Real change in the things that you know are out of line with God's purpose for you? Or do these prayers feel impossible? Now, if they do, I think maybe you've forgotten the God that you're praying to. If he can transform your sinful heart and mine and fill them to the measure with Christ himself, he can do anything. What was that impossible prayer request that you thought of at the start of this sermon? 20,000 new believers? How about Christ dwelling in you in comfort? Does that feel impossible? Or cutting lust or pride out of your own heart? Now take these requests and increase them immeasurably, even longer than a 6 metre tape measure. God is still able to do that. So let's ask great things of our great God. What would it be like to have Paul, the apostle, in your connect group? Imagine at the end of your Bible study sharing prayer points. Paul, what would you like us to pray for you this week? He might say, oh, well, this week I've had a bit on my mind, and given God's power and ability, I would like him to fully transform me, to have Christ in me. And I would really like to know God's love more and have my whole life shaped around that. I know this is huge, but God can do it. Well, that is a huge gear shift from the prayer points that I share. I think in my connect group, sometimes we can get caught up praying for school results, a restful holiday, and good weather on the weekends. Now, what kind of a prayer is that? Obviously, one that God can answer. One that God is able to do, but don't you think we can aim a little higher? I don't think I get out of first gear in my prayer requests. Imagine you had a super rich auntie. Every year, she would ask you to send in your Christmas present requests. She cares for you and she wants the best for you. You could have anything you wanted, and her riches and generosity would mean that she would gladly give it. Now, everyone wants an auntie like this. And every year as you sit down to write your list, you write to her asking for socks. Socks for Christmas. And every year she gives them. 1 year you get a bit more confident and you think, I have a rich auntie. This year I'll write for socks and undies. Now, do you think we do a similar thing with God with our own prayer requests? It's worth saying God cares about the little things as well. We know that even the hairs on our head are numbered. But we're really in danger of never asking God to work in amazing things, in amazing ways, if we just get stuck asking small prayers. We have a God who is able to change us even more than we could ask or imagine. And here we are asking for socks and undies and good weather on the weekend. We're not even close to coming to God's limits in what we ask for. Our vision as a church is to see everyone conform to the likeness of Christ. Now, for this to happen, I'm going to have to upscale my prayers a bit, and I think you might too. Let's give God the pleasure of answering a huge prayer point. Lift up your eyes and your prayers from the trivial. See what Paul prays for and let that inspire you. There's no limit to God's power, only to our own understanding. God's ability and capacity to meet the spiritual needs of his people go far beyond what we can imagine. If we're going to get out of first gear in our prayer life, we're going to have to realize who God is. We're going to have to start scaling up our requests. As we close, I just want to think, can you imagine being transformed fully? God bubbling up and out at every opportunity. We can aspire to this. Let's ask God. He can do it. Let's start praying big and watch our lives be transformed by the Spirit of God. And all of this is to His glory through Christ and His church forever and ever. The chief end of God's salvation that He gives us is His glory. And through this transformation, we have a wonderful opportunity to take part in the plan of Ephesians 1-3. If only we would ask. Let's ask together right now. God, we confess that we get stuck asking for little things. And sometimes not asking at all. Change us. Fill us with yourself so that Jesus would drench every aspect of our lives. Would every room of our hearts be somewhere that Jesus is comfortable and at home? Renovate us, Lord, through and through, and enable us to grasp who you are even more. I ask that everyone listening today would be filled to the measure with Christ. We know that you can do this even though it seems impossible to us. So today we come to you and ask. Amen. We're going to listen to a song now called Build My Life. Take these few minutes to assess your prayer life. Maybe this sermon's been an encouragement to you, and maybe it's been convicting. Talk to God about what you need to. Start asking for big things. We need to be strengthened for God, for Christ to dwell in us and to know God's love. I love the line in the chorus that says, "Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart." That's what Paul asks for, and we can do the same. So let's pray big as we listen or sing along in our homes.